where I get excited with clients more than anything is the scenario where people at the end say, you're more my therapist than you are my financial planner.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals and figure out what the heck to do with ourselves when we achieve them. So to help us with that, we have Ben Hakuma, who is the founder of the Illuminate Wealth Management. So he's going to help us illuminate our future. He is a certified financial planner. He's been in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Financial Planning Magazine, and now, as I'm sure, a highlight of his career, he's now on the Get Your Fill podcast. Ben, welcome. So welcome. Did I pronounce your name correctly, first of all?
You're close. You're close. It's close enough. Ben Hakuma, but Hakuma. That was good. And you're right. This is one of the highlights of my career for sure. So thank you for having me on.
So Ben, just so people understand like the major difference between a certified financial planner and like your everyday average financial planner.
Absolutely. That is, I could answer that question. It'd take a whole hour. I'll try to keep it nice and short. I think it's important to kind of see where the industry kind of came from. So when you hear the word financial advisor, you hear financial planner, most people think of a stockbroker. They think about a money manager. They think about somebody at, you know, a big firm you heard of, Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch or, you know, something of that nature. Only in the last, I'd say 10 or 15 years has a focus on true financial planning really come into play. And that is people that are actually not just in it to say, I'm going to manage your money and take a cut of that. But what is all the areas of finance kind of come together? So yeah, that's things like goal setting and investments, but also how do things like estate planning or insurance planning, not to sell a product, but how does the planning actually come in? How do tax planning and cash flow and savings and all of those factors come in a comprehensive plan? That's what a certified financial planner should be doing, is having all those different pieces in a cohesive plan.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. And they're not just like, if I don't sell you this thing, I'm not going to get paid today. So I think you really need this thing in your portfolio, right?
Right. I mean, and that's still, I think it's somewhere 90-95% of people in the financial services industry are still commission only and commission based. There's nothing wrong with commissions in and of itself, of course, but incentives matter. And how we work with clients is as a fee only, no commissions, fiduciary, helping with the planning more than anything. Whether you take my recommendations or not, doesn't change what I get paid. Now I still think you should do them, but that's its own own side.
Excellent. So we were talking before we started the recording about the, you know, FIRE and the goal of retiring early, which a lot of people are interested in, right? That's part of the name of my thing, financial independence and live long life, because I felt it was too late for me to retire early. But a lot of people who I've interviewed are, you know, they're 30, 35 years old and they're retired. And I'm like, boring. You know what
I mean? Right.
So how do you, in your goal setting, how do you help people to imagine? Because I feel that like retiring in itself isn't really much of a goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more of like, I want to stop doing a job I hate. Right. But then what's next? What
exactly,
what does life look like after that? You're just going to, you know, how much golf, how much travel, how much, you know, non-challenging stuff can you do before you just start to like wither and die? You know, I mean, it's just not right. That. I mean, maybe that's me. I mean, a lot of people probably love just doing needlepoint all day.
I think there are some, but in my experience, there's if you don't focus on kind of what's the purpose outside of your job and your career and your identity is just tied to what you say that you do for work, then when that retirement comes, whether it's at 35 or it's at 65, you're running from something, but you're not running to anything. And so, you know, to get to your question, how do we do this? How do we focus on the goals? It's all about taking away the numbers and not actually focusing on what can go on a spreadsheet or what somebody even thinks their goals are. We start with questions like, you picked up a lottery ticket, because most of my clients don't play the lottery. You picked up a lottery ticket and it won. And I don't even know the rules. Maybe you can't turn that in, but you turn it in. You have more money than you've ever known what to do with. What changes immediately in your life? That's our, on our discovery questions. One of the first meetings we have with clients is all these soft questions. And I say, you better come prepared to be vulnerable, because I'm asking about things that drive you, not things that you can give me on a statement. So what does life look like? Step back, you wake up 10 years from now. What do you want to be doing? Or what are you going to look back 10 years from now and say, if I didn't do that, I would regret it? What would life be different there? Who are the people in life that you can't live without? Focus on the relationships that matter. Even I know you mentioned travel, but even the travel of going to this place, that this is a bucket list. Well, why are we waiting? Let's put that on the list right away. You never know what's going to happen in the future. So let's knock that out. And whatever those things that are motivating somebody, that's how we back into the goals. I don't ever actually ask somebody, at least initially, what are your goals? What do you want to do?
People they shut come, down, right? Like, yeah, well, I exactly. want $1 million, right? They do the 4%. No, I need $5 million.
Exactly.
And like,
yeah. Exactly. And I think also on the kind of the fire side itself, part of the issue that I have with a lot of fire bloggers or YouTubers or whatever they are, it's all about, you have to do it this way, or you're a failure in some way. There's a lot of shame associated with, if you're not doing it my way, you're, and everyone's got their own way, their own plan. I talk a lot about how my wife and I are opposite people in so many different ways. If she was married to somebody else, her financial plan in her life would look so different. And the same with me. And if we were single, that would be very different. But our plan, as we are as our couple, we have to compromise and figure out what it looks like. And you ask those same questions that I would ask, you know, at a discovery meeting, we're going to have wildly different answers. And that's fine. Our plan will be unique to us, which means if somebody's doing it in a different way, that doesn't mean they're better or worse. It just works for them. And that's how we try to focus with all of our clients.
Yeah. And I noticed that a lot of the, I mean, just by the nature of the word, a lot of these people are young and they haven't been through a lot of market cycles, and they think that, oh, I'm going to do this real estate investing and it's always going to go up and it's always going to be wonderful. And people, you know, these units are always going to be in demand. And I'm thinking to myself, right. You know, I mean, I'm going to be 60. I'm like, that is not the way it goes.
Right.
they call them market cycles for a reason.
Yes. Yes. The last, you know, pre-COVID, the 12 years leading up to that were great for markets if you didn't experience anything else, and whether it's investments or real estate or anything else. The same people that have been asking me about retire in their 30s are the same ones that have been preaching Airbnb rentals and crypto and all the things that now a year over last year are all the things that go through a cycle, and it's the first time that anyone's experienced that.
Right. Yeah. And it's a little unsettling, but I think even then, I mean, like you say, 12 years, that's a long, in some areas it's even longer, right? If you got in at the bottom, you're like, well, look at this, it's going up all this, you know, and you just think, whoo, forever. But then all of a sudden it starts to correct and you're over leveraged and you're like, oh, gee, this wasn't a very good. And I think for that same reason, right? Because you want to be, you need to be engaged, right? You want to be challenged. You want to be excited. And like, so you buy more and you do more and you do it. And then all the next thing you know, you're like over leveraged. You're like, shit,
right?
Going down.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So there's so many times, you know, that even until I put my spreadsheet hat on, things sound so good. And this is a great opportunity and you can't miss it. And, you know, I've looked at short-term rental properties myself to do. And then once you step back from the marketing materials or what someone's telling you, and you actually run the numbers, you have to build in some sort of balance that it's not always going to be good. You can be the most optimistic person, but there has to be another side to take into account for whatever it is, whether it's investing or, you know, real estate or anything like that. And that also speaks to, you know, the retirement side, right? You're going into retirement. You can have the best plan ever. for what you think you're going to do, but until you really have that time and you, and things just change. I think at the flip side, I'm the oldest of four siblings. And so two of us have kids and two don't. The youngest two think they're busy, right? And I think anyone with kids probably remembers before they had kids, they thought they were busy, and then they have kids and then they're like, that's what busy. And then our kids now are in activities. And what I thought was busy when they were two is different when they're nine. And I think the opposite's going to be true too. And I see it with our clients. When you're retired, yes, you fill your time, but there's a lot of time that you didn't realize you had. Right. And now you have to have a reason to wake up every day.
Well, and that's it, because you can get depressed. I mean, that used to be the kind of the cliche, you know, especially for men, they would retire and then 2 years later they'd be dead. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is because they lost their sense of purpose. They lost their direction. They lost their reason, like you say, to get up in the morning. So yeah. And that's why so many people write when they get to be like, oh, I made all this money, I'm going to write a book.
Right. What else am I going to do? That's going to take a long time. So you might as well do it. Right.
Right. Exactly. What else am I going to do myself? You know, that's why Tony Robbins, who probably is, you know, all these people who are gazillionaires, you know, what are we going to do now? Well, let's teach other people how to do this. Okay, sure.
That's right. That'd be fun,
right? Yeah. For sure. I don't know. So you brought up real estate a little bit, and I think unlike your sort of traditional financial advisor who works for T. Rowe Price or something, you're able to include real estate into people's portfolio. Is that something that you feel comfortable doing? Is that something that you do?
For sure. There's a couple different levels, and part of it has to do with stage of life and dollar amounts and things like that. And so I see a couple different levels for every one of our clients, from their just pure investment portfolio. They've got public REITs, whether that's an ETF or mutual fund. That's its own little set. And then the next step are people that are interested and they have their own rental properties. And maybe, you know, I'm in the Chicago area, and, you know, there's a lot of duplexes and they live in one side and rent out the other. And yeah. I've got a lot of clients that have that. And so we can kind of help from, again, a planning perspective of what do we budget for that? How do we have taxes associated with it? How do we get out of it if you need to? All of those things that come into play. Then we do have some access to private real estate, kind of bigger deals, if it makes sense. I have found for most clients, they don't need it. It gets to, why are we doing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. And for some, they're attracted to it because it sounds sexy. But when I run the numbers and I take the risk into account and I say, how is it going to actually change your life? All it does is add complexity to be invested in this illiquid asset that you can't do anything with. And like you're ceding. You're ceding control to somebody else. That just, in a lot of ways, doesn't work for the clients that I'm typically working with. Yeah. I'm two come to mind though, that they're just so interested in that it's fun for them to be a part of. So it's worth the complexity.
Right.
So
if you're interested in it and you want to do the research, you want to really learn about it, especially if you think someday you might want to do that yourself, mm-hmm. then it's great. Learn from somebody else, learn it at someone else's feet. You know, it's much better.
Right. Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite thing that you like people to, that you like to not direct them to, but like it educate them on?
So I have to laugh because the first thing is I just think of my team and what they make fun of me for geeking out about and going really into the weeds. And this is going to be the most boring thing anyone's ever said on what you have. But I could talk about bonds for days at a time. And really the reason I say that is I think that everyone talks about stocks again because they're exciting, because you can see it go up and you can make double your money if you pick the right penny stock and, you know, all that. There's a lot of good information. I was an economics major in school, and there's a lot of things, you know, bond dealers would tell you that the stock people, you know, they're all just the kids that are out there. The real adults play with bonds and that they're there. And so for our client, the reason why I get excited about it specifically to our clients is for the ones that are planning to take money out of their portfolio soon, they're approaching retirement, they're already retired. we can structure something where bonds last and we have a bond ladder. So every year you just know I've got X number of dollars coming due, no matter what happens to the market, it can be down, it can be up. I know I've got that cash, and it's a nice thing that gives people security to say, oh, I don't have to worry about my money. I don't have to worry about cash flow. I know I have that coming in. So that's one thing that my team just makes fun of me about, because I can go on and on and on on that front. Where I get excited with clients more than anything is the scenario where people at the end say, you're more my therapist than you are my financial planner. It's getting to the heart of what matters to them and their why, and all the stuff we kind of talked about before.
But, well, let's talk about bonds a little bit though, because when I think about bonds, I think about very low yield. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just maybe, I mean, I'm not young, but that's, I remember as a kid having a bond and they used to mature, like in 5 years, you'd have double your money. That is definitely not the case.
That does not happen anymore.
Not with 1% interest, you know, so.
No.
How can I get excited?
How can you get excited about bonds? Yeah. So most people, their only relationship with bonds is they buy a Vanguard bond index fund. It's got thousands and thousands of bond in there. I get some interest every month and we move on. I get excited when we do things like buy municipal bonds. They're tax exempt. We buy individual ones. And so we're looking around which states you're going to own, what types of revenue streams you're going to have a really secure, safe investment. But if you know what you're doing, you can actually get some much higher return than just a bond mutual fund. I'll give you an example. So a lot of people steer away from state of California. They say, I don't want to own anything in California. The finances there are concerning. Well, if you have a general obligation bond in the state of California, state constitution, you will be paid back. It's number two or three on the list after teachers if you're a general obligation bond holder. So I really have no concern about a bond in California not paying off, not doing what it needs to do. Take a different bond in a different place. Maybe you owned, this goes back a couple of years, but a Detroit bond. And now Detroit goes under and now you're in trouble because your bond you thought was a low yielding bond and safe investment, now it's gone away. If you know what you're doing and you can get into the details, you can structure a really positive portfolio. It's going to last. It's going to do its job. And you don't have to worry about years like 2022. In 2022, bonds had the worst year of returns in over 100 years. Some say going back to the 1700s, depending on your measurement. If you had individual bonds like our clients did, you didn't worry about it. The price didn't matter as it changed, as interest rates changed. And so it's a really nice, safe way. Interest rates are a lot higher today than they were a year ago. They're higher than they've been for a number of years at this point. So they're even more exciting than they were. They're not the end all be all, but as a piece of a well-run portfolio, I think they don't get the attention they deserve because everyone wants to talk about Tesla stock or, you know, what Apple's doing or anything, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And I don't know. There's always stock from the stock perspective where you wish you would have looked, you know, looking back, like everyone's like, oh, Tesla stock. I'm like, Tesla doesn't make any money. I don't want to buy a company that doesn't make money. It just doesn't make sense to me. But of course, I could have made money owning Tesla stock because everybody loves Elon Musk. But with my luck, he'd get hit by a bus the day after I buy it.
Then it would be gone.
Worth $5, you know?
Right.
So, I almost feel that way about, you know, even Berkshire Hathaway, which is a fantastic company. But, you know, when Warren Buffett dies, I just think that company, the stock's going to tank.
Yes. That is definitely a risk that's out there. And it's a great, great big company. And they've got a big team. It's not just him. Right. But I don't, you know, there's the psychology of the market when he's gone. That'll be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's right.
Well, because it's so emotional, you know, it is so emotional. The stock market, especially now when everybody can buy their own stuff, right? Back in the day, you had to talk to a broker and maybe that broker would try to talk some sense into you. Whereas now you know, no one needs to talk sense into anybody. I can just hit my button and sell right. or buy or whatever I want to do. Is, you know.
Well, and you look at the phenomenon of, you know, Robin Hood a couple of years ago was what all everyone was talking about and how many subscribers they had. And, you know, it was really a tech company that happened to place trades and they were incentivized to make it as easy as possible for you to push that button and to buy as many times as you could, not because you were paying them, but they were selling, you know, your trades to Citadel. And so you look at things like that and the entire game has changed where it is not in your individual's interest to follow necessarily what the platform you're on is trying to get you to do. Whatever's the easiest, whatever's gamified, that is not for your benefit. Right. And we live in this world where stock trades are free, where ETF trades are free. And you know, when something's free, there's someone's getting paid somewhere and it's not you. So,
exactly. Yeah, you know, you're not getting paid to trade. So exactly. Somebody else is.
That's right.
So what do you help? How do you help your clients to sort of, you know, set themselves at ease when something's happening with the market, when something's happening with their investment that isn't, you know, maybe what they hoped for or planned for? How can they keep their emotions out of it and not make a mistake?
Right. So I think one of the biggest benefits just of having a good financial planner who you're seeding some of that, that money management to. One of the benefits is just stepping away and not being emotional about it. And I say that even as somebody who my wife and I have hired our own financial planner, not because I didn't know what I was doing, but because it's emotional when you talk about your own stuff. When you're in it and you feel the full brunt of every decision, there's a lot that goes into it. And having somebody else who says the exact same thing, possibly. Right. It's nice to have. And it's also, and for my relationship with my wife, it was helpful too, that she had somebody she could turn to that wasn't her husband who was saying, this is the way to do it.
Exactly. Because there is that, you know, are we making this decision just because I don't want to have an argument? You know, I mean, right. I want to hear this from some third party, and it just becomes a lot more neutral and it feels more like advice than just, I don't know. Right. That's wonderful.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
good idea.
So that's part of it. And, you know, similar doctors shouldn't do their own surgeries on themselves. My dad was an oral surgeon. Like, he shouldn't take out his own teeth when he was working. Like, someone else should do this occasionally.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean he's lesser at his job. Right. So that's just one, is just having that third party there helps put things in perspective. And I like to, you know, I can't take credit. I don't know who came up with it, but I like this analogy because I think it really, really resonates with clients. I really have two clients that I'm working with. I have the client today, and then I have the client 20 years from now, who I also hope to be sitting across the table from.
Yeah.
And the decisions we make today on emotions about our investments are down, or I'm worried about this tomorrow, it's one of those things. That is all about that first person, the person sitting across from me today. But if we remind our clients to say, I'm also working with who you will be 20 years from now, or your kids that will inherit the money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Let's put that person on the table now. And let's talk about what they need and what the decisions you today are making that are going to impact that person. And that helps frame the short-term movements in investments. And when I say short-term, I mean anything less than 5 years. When you're talking about an investment for your life, that's short-term. Anything less, that's speculation, that's trading, that's not really sound investment. And so that's focusing on the right things. Why are we doing what we're doing? And then also just about setting expectations. We talk about, not that I'm predicting this is what's going to happen, but here's the different range of possibilities. And we've accounted for it. Here's what we do if this happens. Here's what we do if this happens. And so when that actually comes, clients are already prepared to say, oh, you've thought of that. Now we know what to do. Right. I don't have a crystal ball, but we already have a plan in place no matter what happens.
When you don't really need a crystal ball to see what's happened in the past, right? I mean,
right.
In general, this is going to probably happen another time, right?
I think so. Yes. Yes.
Even these pandemics and, you know, market crashes and weird stuff going on, they've all happened before.
Right. This is a little off topic, but you just made me think of it. Right. So I'm I listen to audiobooks all the time. And so I enjoy audiobooks and also, you know, podcasts and things. And so I was a history minor just for fun. I loved history. My mom was a history teacher. And so, you know, we would just talk about history all day. And there were, there was a book from my favorite history podcaster, Dan Carlin, Hardcore History. And he wrote a book 6 months before COVID. Is when it came out. And it was something like The End Is Always Near. I think it was the title of it, The End Is Always Near. And he talked about just looking at the last thousands of years of history, what are likely to happen. And he specifically said, we are unprepared for a pandemic. Yeah. Not that he had a crystal ball that said this is going to happen, but it's looking at history and saying history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. What do we do with that? How do we take that information? We don't have to be exactly right, but we can learn a lot from what's out there.
Yeah. My aunt actually, who inspired this podcast, because she lived to be 105, she lived through the Spanish flu, you know, okay. The great flu of 1917, I think was when, and, you know, we talked about that long before this happened, but it was right about, I was just over 100 years later. And that's right. Kind of a typical cycle for things like that. So that was interesting. And same thing, you know, they weren't prepared either. And, you know,
right. We're really good at not being prepared, right? So,
but yeah, it's interesting. And all these things have cycles.
Right. And so to bring it back, go ahead.
No, I was trying to think of a book that I had read, what it was called, but it was talking about the, you know, this pendulum effect where it's like there's the neutral and then there's the 20 years up and the 20 years back. And then, and I'm trying to think what it was called.
Is it the fourth turning?
No,
no,
but I'll try to remember it and maybe I'll shoot it to you if I can remember. But basically it was talking about that, about how people's personality, or, you know, like the way the generations go, mm-hmm. right? So you've got right. the hippies and then you've got the people who are real conservative and mm-hmm. I almost had it, but I don't know, maybe it'll come back to me. It was very interesting about mm-hmm. the trends and the way people's minds work and the way we view things. And, you know, everybody's like, we go from conservative to, you know, more loosey and we're doing whatever. It's just, you know, everything old is new again, I guess.
Right. Right. Well, I'm, you know, kind of related to all this that we're talking about, what I see kind of in the industry, in my industry of just investment management as a piece is you've heard the saying, you always fight the last war. And whatever happened most recently is what everyone's prepared for. And you over-prepare for that. And so coming out of the great financial crisis, everyone was worried about stocks are going to fall off a cliff and we need to protect and have all this money in here. And then stocks went on a 10-year run that was one of the best in history. And it is all because everyone was afraid of that last one to happen. Yeah. And then no one's seen inflation. We've had deflation concerns before we had inflation. Inflation's the 70s. And so since 1982, no one worried about inflation. Yeah. And so no one was prepared from a portfolio perspective. No one talked about it. Well, now people talk about it again, but there's another thing that's going to happen. And it always moves forward. It always cycles. It's exciting for people like me who enjoy it, who geek out about looking at, you know, market history and things like that. But it can be really scary if you don't have someone in your corners helping you with it.
Absolutely. So Ben, do you work with people only at a certain net worth, or are there like minimum?
No, good. Yeah. Good question. So my youngest client's 29, my oldest client's 97. So we kind of have it all covered. Most people that come to me are in one of two camps. So they're in their 30s and 40s. Their life is getting complicated. They probably have kids. They're in the middle of their career and they're busy. And what used to be really easy and didn't take a lot of time to manage just got too complicated, and too many other things came into play. And they just want someone to take over and tell them when they need to worry about it and be the filter to say, don't worry about all this other stuff. And then, so we kind of take care of all the areas of the financial life. Then we have another kind of group that comes right before they retire. And many of those are the traditional age 65 retirement. They call us up a year to 3 years before and say, am I ready? Because I'm ready. Are my finances ready? And, you know, helping everything from Social Security to Medicare and everything related to where do you take the money out of and how do we structure it and all that fun stuff. But what I've also found is the comprehensive ongoing relationship doesn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we also have a financial project. We work with people. It's a limited scope. Kind of, we give you the list. Here's all the different things we can cover. What do you need? What's important to you? And then we'll let you go and take care of it yourself. So we'll tell you what to do. And then you probably don't need me for another 5 years. And I created that basically because I got a lot of people who called me and said, I just want some of your time. I'm not complicated enough. I don't feel like I need all of what you're doing for me. Can you just help me though? And there's not a lot of people helping people that don't have a lot of assets.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our way to try to have meet people where they are, is both a project and then also ongoing.
Nice. So Ben, is there anything, I mean, I feel like, you know, we're kind of bumping up on our time. And I just want to know, is there anything that you wish that I would have asked you, anything that you want to talk about that we haven't kind of touched on?
I was actually on another podcast and they asked this question, which it just stuck with me. Like, I was emotional after the fact, and it was, what's a lesson that you learned from your clients?
That's a very nice question.
And there's one that jumped out to me and I shared it, and I've shared it with other people before, but it fits right in line with everything that we said, which is, so I had a client and they planned ahead. They had no kids, husband, wife. They worked really hard, saved. They didn't have the highest paying job, but they were very diligent savers. And so they retired in their early 50s and they had it all figured out. They had done the work to say, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And then 9 months into retirement, the wife was diagnosed with cancer and passed away 2 months after that.
Oh my God.
And I remember that vividly, sitting across the table from the husband after the fact, and him crying in the office and us talking through things. And, you know, obviously I knew them for a while together and knew her. And one thing that jumped out to me through that whole experience was, at least they had 9 months together. And so, and then 9 months where they had stopped working and they chose to did all the work to make sure that it was successful. They didn't just sleep in and go play golf, right? And they had all these trips planned and they had charities they were volunteering at, and they had it all. And he has since remarried, and he still works with me today, and he's awesome. But he always has that memory of that time, that if he had gone the traditional route, which was, I'm gonna work till I'm 65. And what I've had with some clients, they don't think about what life looks like after. And so the first year is figure it out. They wouldn't have had that time. And so it's a reminder of why I do what I do. It's a reminder of why I ask those tough questions that people don't like to answer, because a lot of times you've never been asked those. And it's all about, there's a reason, you know, money's just a tool to reach your goals. It's not the end all be all. And we get so focused on the spreadsheet and the numbers, both clients and in the industry, we get focused on the numbers, but there's a reason behind all of it. And it's about having the life that you want.
Definitely. Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, it's a sad story, but you're right. You know, if they would have been working until 62, 65, 72 now, people are thinking about working until 72 to get more Social Security. Like, really?
Right.
Yeah. No, not on my,
not on the list. So doesn't mean you quit tomorrow, but taking steps, I think it makes sense.
Well, when I look at my life, I feel like I quit a long time ago.
That is exactly how you want to be.
Yeah, because everything I do is, it's a passion project. I do things for fun. I do things because they interest me and they light me up. And there is nothing I'm doing like for the paycheck. Nobody gets to tell me what time I have to get out of bed in the morning, you know, right? That's just,
exactly.
To me,
that's all freedom.
My life to be structured.
for sure. Sounds good.
So how do the fees work? I mean, how, like a typical person, I don't know. I think, well, and I'm asking because I think some people say, you know, which is, I know we both know how ironic and sad this is, but I can't afford to hire
right.
an actual certified financial planner. Mm-hmm. I'll just work with one of these freebies and, you know, hope for the best.
Right. You know, like everything else, you get what you pay for. Right. And, sure. And I was just talking to a prospective client earlier this week who someone else is going to charge half of what I will. And if you want to go with a low cost, I hope that works out. Right. And we take a lot of pride in what we do. We try to do the best we can. We're not perfect. Right. Yeah. But every day we're trying to do better than we did the day before for all of our clients. For our financial projects, they start at $2,400. Now that's going to be what you're going to get from that is the answers to the questions that you have and a plan on what to do. And also, if none of these things change, here's when you need to see me again, which is 5 or 10 years from now. And then the triggers of, you might want to call me again because this whole plan we put together doesn't work if these things happen. You know, someone gets sick or you lose your job or, you know, whatever that looks like. You inherited a bunch of money. We probably should do a new plan. So that's kind of that side. Our ongoing clients start at $800 a month is what we charge. And it is based on total net worth. So it does grow as your net worth grows, which gives us an incentive to help you grow your net worth. So we grow it together. We do not charge based on assets we manage because I never want somebody to hire me with the goal to grow their investment portfolio the most. And the reason I say that is we do a lot of things like tax planning, cash flow, saving, maybe help you buy rental real estate, whatever that looks like. I never want my pay to change based on my recommendation so that I'm incentivized, even subconsciously, to right. give you different advice. And one example is clients call, you know, they ask, should I pay off my mortgage? Do I take money out of my investments to pay off my mortgage? If I was a typical assets under management advisor, I would be incentivized to tell you, keep that mortgage as long as possible. So you give me more money that I can bill off of.
Right.
Net worth, you're taking money from one spot, moving it to another, your net worth doesn't change. Now my advice has as few conflicts of interest as possible. So that's the goal. Obviously nothing is perfect, but that's why we structure it the way that we do on that front. So
nice. Ben, I love talking with you. I think you're awesome. I love your advice. I love your attitude. I love you, like, you know, just your demeanor. I think you're cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My team would be laughing because they know if they give me a compliment, I'm really uncomfortable. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I'll make you square when you're
too. That's right. So now some clients know it too. So they'll say nice things just waiting to see me squirm a little. So thank you. No, but this has been great and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So how can people reach out to you if they feel like you're the mm-hmm. one?
Absolutely. The best way to do that is just go to our website, illuminatewm.com. You know, illuminate, we're hopefully shedding light on some things. Yeah. So illuminatewm.com, and there's a nice little contact you can schedule directly on my calendar, learn about what we do. Our fees are on there, our services, all that stuff.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you, listener, for listening and being with Ben and I today. I know you think he's cool because he is cool. There's no argument about it. So you might as well just take this episode and forward it to a friend who you think could use a little more money or to be a little bit smarter with the money that they have. And then make sure you tune in next week because who even knows who we're going to be talking to then. It's going to be somebody fun and exciting. In the meantime, have a fantastic week.